My friends, fall is finally back. I love fall. If you know me at all, you know this about me because I never stop talking about it. I love chilly weather. I love cozy clothes like flannels and sweaters and sweatshirts. I love going to apple orchards and eating all of their apple treats. I love the colors outside. I saw the first red leaf today and about lost my mind in the car. It's lucky that I was on my block and not anywhere that I could endanger anyone. Football fans, we're back to the beginning of the season optimism. I love seeing the hope in each other's eyes as we say, this might be our year. And at the very least, we're hoping that it's not down to the Chiefs and Eagles again. As a casual Super Bowl viewer, I'm just hoping for some variety. And if the Vikes get in, great. We'll see. Personally, I have been looking up when are pumpkin spice lattes back at Starbucks since August 10th. I know. Here is a picture. As of today, with my first PSL of the season, look at the joy that's on this face. And this was before I found out that Taylor Swift got engaged. This, I know, crazy day, amazing day, as if it couldn't get any better. And this joy was shared by, I think, about every Bethel freshman girl in the Arden Hills Starbucks. Everyone was there. Yay, fall. Fall also comes with new beginnings. I'm in a season of some good and scary beginnings. If you're watching as this is posted today, August 31st, 2025, I just turned 23, so I'm starting a new year of life. This is my first fall as a college graduate. I've never not been a student. As long as I can remember, fall has meant back to school, and now it doesn't. I move into my first apartment tomorrow. I've never had my parents' home not be my home base. I started here working at Emmanuel full-time this summer. It's my first full-time job, and this is my first time taking full ownership over our middle school teen programming, which I am so, so excited about. All of these things are good, and all of these things are some level of scary. Does anyone else have any good and scary going on? It's hard to move the two and separate them from each other. If you're anything like me, seasons of change quickly become synonymous with seasons of stress. The stress of changing rhythms, living in a new environment. We have a lot of people at our church learning a new language, both native Spanish speakers learning English and native English speakers learning Spanish. Or maybe your stress is from going back to the grind of the work year, or back to school and weeks of homework. We have a lot of people starting college this year from our ministry. And just saying some of these things, just reading them as I've been preparing for this message, gets me feeling more and more tense. And some of you may be feeling just the opposite. You wish you had more change in your life. You feel stuck of my back to is the same as it's always been. Maybe you have a feeling that there should be more change. If only I had that promotion. If only I had that relationship, if only I had that new house, whatever it may be. And either way, if you're stressed in this fall season, you're not alone. You're in good company based on the nods that I've been getting in this room. If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. In this season of stress, from change or from stagnantness or anything in between, would you like to go back to with a blessing over you, over your home, over whatever situation you're going back to? You get hands or nods to know that you guys are with me, you'd like a blessing. Because today, you can go back to school, work, home, wherever, whenever, with a blessing. Most weeks, at the end of our services, we pray a blessing over you that comes right from the Bible. It goes all the way back to the time of Moses. You can find it in number 6 and also right here on your screens. It goes like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. At Emmanuel, we make it a priority to remind one another that God loves to bless his people. And we work blessing into our regular rhythms weekly and yearly on purpose. Each year, we pray a special back to blessing over all who want to receive it. And this year, I have the absolute honor of bringing us our blessing message. I've been praying and reflecting on it over the course of basically this whole summer. And the theme that has been repeating over and over again in my mind and in my heart is peace. Can any of you use more peace instead of stress? If you're taking notes, here's one more thing to write. This fall, peace is waiting for all who desire to walk in it. If you desire peace in your life, God would love to bless you with it today. So let's take a look at what the Bible says about how we can experience more peace this fall. Today, we're going to be spending time in the book of Ephesians, which I forgot how good it is. Holy cow. The themes of grace and peace are abundant throughout the book. Paul opens Ephesians with a blessing to God's people in Ephesus. I would love to extend this to you as we begin our message today as well. Take this opportunity to let it sink in. I encourage you to put yourself in a posture ready to receive these words wherever you're watching from. This is adapted from Ephesians 1, verses 1 and 2. To God's holy people at Emmanuel, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. Isn't that a beautiful feeling? And it ties in so well with our last series where we just spent 4 weeks learning about grace and truth. So with that blessing given to you as a little mini preview of today, let's open our Bibles together. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 8. And if you don't have a Bible, we absolutely recommend downloading the YouVersion Bible app. It is free on the App Store, and it's got a crazy amount of downloads. I love it. It's so good. You can be my friend on it, too. Just saying. Anyway, Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. If you've been following along on screen, you can see that some recurring words were highlighted. So can we keep that on screen for just a moment? Because Paul opens Ephesians by blessing God, who has blessed us through Christ. There's no blessing more beautiful or more powerful than God sending his son to give his life for us. And God chose us, it says, to receive this ultimate blessing so that we can live with him forever. In verse 5, Paul makes it more practical to his audience in Ephesus. He says, God adopted us as sons through Jesus. And this isn't saying that he's making us all physical sons in his kingdom. The Greek word used here is a legal term, which refers to the full legal standing of an adopted heir in Roman culture. That's a big deal. God, through his son and through his grace, blessed us by adopting us as heirs to his whole kingdom. It's the highest right that could be given to someone. Ogita Burbano spoke on grace a few weeks ago. She spoke about how beautiful a gift God's grace is and how our right response as followers is thankfulness. How many of you remember a moment in your life when someone reached out to you specifically to say a specific thanks? Maybe they pulled you aside in a moment or sent you an intentional email, wrote you a lovely text, wrote you a beautiful card. And don't you feel something unique when that happens? Like, oh, maybe you didn't even know what you did was noticed, but knowing that it was noticed and that it was appreciated. I still have thank you cards from my first year at teen from a couple of our girls. And expressing our thankfulness blesses God. We have so much life to be thankful to God for. Paul says we were dead in our sins. We were stuck in the ways that we used to live, gratifying our earthly desires. But that's not where the story ends. If you're following along in your Bible, we're picking back up in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. It says this, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of grace, of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down as well. Our God is rich in grace. Our God is rich in grace. It is through God's grace that we are saved. We were dead in our sin. We're dead in our wrongdoing. God could have easily labeled us a lost cause. God could have taken his riches and kept them all close to himself. He could have turned away. But he didn't. God looked on us with great love and richness of grace and of mercy and of kindness. And instead of turning us away, raised us up in Christ and with Christ. We have been brought from death to life. So let's continue on, starting right back up in verse 8. This may seem familiar to a lot of you. It says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for beforehand that we should walk in them." When we say yes to Jesus, we receive the gift of God's grace. Grace that God is so rich in. And along with grace, you can see I've highlighted the word workmanship. It's not a word I come across often, so I dug into it a little bit more. And this got me fired up. So if you're drifting here or on, if you're watching this online, come back for this. My dad is nodding because I've been yapping his ear off about it all week. The Greek word that the ESV translates as workmanship is poiema. And it could look or sound familiar because it's where we get our word poem. It's even more similar. I'm going to be doing this bilingually at our Sunday 10:30 service, and it's even more similar to the Spanish word for poem, poema. So we have poema and poema. It's just so cool. And poema is used by Paul in two verses in the New Testament. Poema denotes something that was created with purposeful action. In the New Testament, it's specifically used by Paul to highlight divine craftsmanship. You can see for yourself in this other example in Romans 1, verse 20. The text says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made," there's that word again, poema, "they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." Other translations use "what has been made," but poema is still the word that's there, the root word. And the use of poema expresses God's intentionality in the physical creation of the world and beyond, and in human beings, in you and in me. These two creative works God has done are connected by the use of this one unique word. Humanity and creation then are presented as parallel, intentional acts of divine artistry. In Romans, the galaxies and everything in them are God's created testimony, God's poema. And because of them, Paul says, we have no excuse for not recognizing our creator. Just go outside and look in a place where there's no lights. If you've seen the northern lights, we have no excuse for not looking and recognizing our creator. And then in Ephesians, believers are now told we are God's created testimony and we are God's poema. I'm confident that there's at least one person listening who needs to hear this as their one thing today. So if this is you and this is your one thing, you are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You were created on purpose and with purpose by a God who loves you. With this knowledge, let's look at Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 again. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his poema. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In saying yes to Jesus, in accepting his sacrifice, in accepting him as our Savior and Lord, we are made new. Through him, we are intentionally designed for good works. The language is strong in this text. It says God has good works prepared for you to walk into. Maybe you don't know what these good works are. If you're desiring good for your life, if you're desiring something more, that's a sign that God is stirring up those plans and that purpose for you. Which leads us to our next note today. I'd encourage you to write this down because this is good news. We can walk in peace. We can walk in peace. When God created humanity, God deemed us very good. Not just good like the other days of creation, very good. Scripture says God knit you together. He knows the amount of hairs on your head. He's closer than your next breath. We can walk in peace because that God created us for good works. God knows what your good works are, even if and even when you don't. We don't have to search for or find that purpose in the traditional sense of the word. We don't have to go adventuring and questing to look for it, because instead, we can follow where God is leading us. We can walk in peace because God directs the steps of those who follow him in faith. Even when it seems like we're on our own, he is with us. God is always at work. And our ultimate purpose is to follow Jesus, to walk with him in good works. Along the journey, you might just look back and see all the good works that he completed in you along the way when you weren't even paying attention. We're called to walk not by sight, but by faith. Text says it's by grace we're saved through faith. And what God began, he will bring to what he considers completion. Often that's different and better than what we think we want. As I've been reflecting, I realized that's how I got here. I didn't set out wanting to speak in front of people, period, much less so in a ministry setting. But I followed one step at a time. After starting college in another state, to come home, to apply for an open teen position after being at camp, to take the clipboard time and time again as it was handed to me, to speak for the first time at youth group, then at camp, then at studio church, then in big church, and to walk faithfully step by step to where God wants me to be. There's a peace that comes from personal experience. There is a peace that comes in surrendering your walk to Jesus and focusing on just that next step and discerning just that next step ahead. It keeps us present in each day, in each step, in each moment, even if we have the anchor point of a final desire, because that's okay to have too. And he will direct the steps of those who follow him in faith. Remember, again, it's by grace we're saved through faith. We don't earn God's grace through good works, through anything we do, through checking boxes. We're led to good works because we walk with a good God who has good plans for his good creation. Ephesians says, through Jesus' sacrifice, we who were once far from him have been brought near. It also says in the next verse, he is our peace. Christ Jesus is our peace. So now I ask each of you, what's your next step? Paul says, we've been made alive in Christ. For some of you, today is the day to receive the blessing of being born again. For some, it's time to enact the blessing that you've received by consciously placing your trust in Jesus, following him every day intentionally instead of looking for yourself to be Lord and Savior of your own life. For some, your next step might be to soak in these reminders of you are his workmanship. For some, it might be to learn what it looks like to live a God-honoring life, to which I would point you read the rest of Ephesians. It lays it out very plainly in an easy language. There's so much about what it looks like to follow God in your life. If you don't know what your next step is, maybe take this time to open up that conversation between you and God. Ask the Spirit to reveal it to you, because if you authentically seek that, he will answer. And trust that the God who makes these promises will use your walk for good this fall and beyond. I hope now you can imagine a fall that is rich in grace and peace. Not only that you can imagine it, but you can step into it. A fall rich in grace and peace, in purpose and mission. And, of course, I need to sneak in a spontaneous melodrama moment. As cheesy as it is, you know, repeating things helps you remember things. You do. You know what I'm talking about. So repeat after me. God has good works. Prepared for me. I'm going to walk in them. It helps to repeat it because repeating things helps you remember things. Did you know that? And know too that you don't walk alone. Everyone here in this room, every view that you see on your screen as you watch this video, that's one more person trying their best to follow Jesus in their life. Before we seal this time together, I want to show you one last really cool thing. Everything we've talked about today is the blessing that we opened with. See for yourself. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be what? Gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. The Lord wants you to receive his grace. Grace he is rich in and generous with. God wants you to experience more of his peace. And he wants to bless you in your walk as you follow him. At Emmanuel, we're here to help you on your journey today, whatever your next step is. And we invite everyone to take this step together. The worship team is going to lead us in songs that allow us to seal this moment. So before I come back up and give a special blessing to each of you, use this time. If you're multitasking and watching right now, pause whatever else you're doing and use this time. First, receive the blessing for yourself. And then, in turn, bless our good and gracious God by giving him thanks and praise. And I'll be back to bless you and your back to whatever it holds. Would you pray with me? God, thank you. Thank you that you are good. You're a good and gracious Father. Thank you that you gave yourself for us. Thank you that you have created each and every one of us with intention and purpose and good plans. I pray that you would put it on each of our hearts today, tonight, whenever we're watching, whenever we're living this moment. What is our next step to walk with you? And I pray that you would encourage us as brothers and sisters to encourage one another on this journey together. Help our hearts and our minds to be open to what you have to say in this time of worship and of blessing.
Amen.